weeks back, we were ministering on the transitions in the spirit. How a person gets born again, the Lord heals their eyes, then the Lord introduces a man or woman of God before them as a pattern that they can follow. And then after that, the Lord ensures, he focuses on creating an identity so that you can know who you are, because without knowing who you are lost. Everything in the spirit draws from the identity that you know about yourself. Eh? And then from the identity, what were we on? What were we on the other week? Okay, then. We're on warfare. Praise the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord was teaching us about how the enemy focuses on family in different areas. He tries to stop you from getting your spouse, and then he'll transition stopping you from, if he can't stop that, he'll try to stop the lady from giving birth. One day I'll teach a message on the battle of the womb. It's very, very important. There's a reason why specific people go through specific things at specific times. And it's not your portion, in Jesus' name. Then if he can't stop the womb, the next thing that he does is to attack the firstborn. And I skipped a lot of things in there because there's an attack that the enemy has directly on the man. Then there's an attack the enemy will have. If he's failed in all that, he'll attack finances. And I've told a number of people who are with me that when a relationship is starting, no matter how godly it is, at the beginning of the relationship, finances are key. Not love. Okay. But it's the truth. It's very, very true. And I feel like people joke around with these things. And when I say finances, I'm not saying that the guy necessarily has to have a lot of money. But what I'm saying is that even people that have a lot of money, finances is an issue. You understand? So when I say finances, it's not the absence of it. It's the absence and the presence. So the enemy will attack it. And it's important because it's not what I'm sharing today, but I need you to understand that there are in the spirit, there are boundaries or limits that each and every one of us are given. In marriage, for example, a husband will have his boundary, the wife will have their boundaries, the kids will have their boundaries. When you step out outside a boundary, and I'm just giving an example of marriage because in life generally, there are boundaries in everything. Once you cross a boundary, you invite warfare. Okay? So for example, if a lady decides that in the family, she's the one who's going to put on the trousers, if she decides it, and there's an able husband there, good loving man, but she decides she wants to put on the trousers, in the spirit, she has crossed a boundary. And the moment she crosses it, warfare is invited, whether she likes it. And you can argue all you want, feminism, movement, whatsoever, but these are spiritual things. And so even in life generally, if you cross specific boundaries, as a minister, Paul says in 2 Corinthians that he was careful not to go beyond the measure that was given to him. There are measures that are given to people based on the potency of the grace over their lives. If I, as a minister, cross the boundaries that have been given to me, I invite warfare. Okay? But that's not the message for today. But what I need you to understand is this, because I feel like I thought about warfare really, I just brushed around it, but I did not tell you how to war. Which is something we'll come to. Because you see, the thing is, you need to learn to discern when something is as a result of a spirit or it's just a natural thing you can take care of. So for example, like I said before, there are sicknesses that are as a result of a spirit. And there are sicknesses that are just natural sicknesses. If you went to the doctor, they could be sorted out. The ability to discern the difference is very important. When, for example, it's just a quick example, the source of a sickness cannot be found, then its source is spirit. But even when the source of the sickness can be found and the contemporary medicine cannot sort it, it is spirit. Praise the Lord. Let me give you another example. When there are times in your spirit, you will feel a breakthrough is about to arrive. When you feel that breakthrough, what you're feeling is actually spiritual. You can, I don't know, I feel like something good is about to happen. Then nothing happens. There's a spirit involved. Praise the Lord. There's a spirit involved. When in the natural, you labor the same way others are laboring, and you're not getting the similar fruit, there's a spirit involved. Praise the Lord. Anyway, we can stay there forever. But I feel like you need to learn to discern, because before you know how to fight, you must know what you're fighting. Is it a spirit? You can cast out nothing from someone when you're praying. Huh? Come out, spirit. It's not even the spirit. Even the spirits are standing nearby saying, what's happening here? I praise the Lord. Eh? But what I want to focus on, I want to take us through, hopefully, unless the Lord interjects along the way. But I feel like it's very important for us to understand how to be intimate with God. Because the next thing after, in a once God has taught you how to wage war in the various degrees, his aim is always to bring you to a place of intimacy. And I'm going to share briefly on why I think this is extremely important. Because we serve a very strange, meticulously mysterious God. And if you try to understand him in the normal way, you will get frustrated. The other night, about a week ago on Thursday, I was, late at night, I wasn't praying. I won't tell you I was praying. I have this thing that I do where I just sit alone in the sitting room at 1 a.m. alone. And I just sit and think. Praise the Lord. Eh? And so the Lord put a couple of songs in my spirit. And one of them was a song on... I can see you now. I can see the love in your eyes. What's it called? Broken Vessels? Okay. Anyway, so I was alone there at night. Eh? And I decided to start playing that song because it entered my spirit. Eh? And... then I went to sleep. Now, when I went to sleep, I had one of the strangest experiences that to me, it's like number one and two in the experiences I've had as a Christian. Eh? So I went to sleep. I don't know how to explain it, but I went to sleep and woke up somewhere else. Now, to me, it seemed like it was... like a split second, but obviously I must have dozed off somewhere there. But I went to sleep with the song in my heart, and I woke up somewhere else. I can't explain to you where I was, but it seemed like somewhere on earth. Eh? And there were two people standing next to me. One person who I won't mention because I know them. Eh? And then there was a man standing right next to me. So while I'm still trying to figure out what's going on, you understand? The man says, come and I show you. And we were in the air. Now we started leaving earth. Now I want to emphasize to you that this didn't seem like a dream to me. It was as real as I'm standing here. I was freaking out. You understand? So I'm taken up and we go, we pass the clouds. All I know is that we're moving at a very fast speed. And the person next to me, meanwhile, this other person never said anything the entire time. In fact, the entire experience, the person, I don't even know the reason why they were there. But we're going up through these places, and this being says, I want to show you worlds. Okay? I wish I could explain to you what it is that I saw, eh? I began to see different types of worlds, but the worlds that I was taken to in my spirit, as I would ask questions about them, the Spirit of God inside me would answer the question. It wasn't like, you understand? So I would look at a place, and I would ask a question in my heart, and the voice, the answer would come from inside me. But anyway, long story short, there's a place that stood out for me. There were worlds that I was taken to, that they seemed familiar to me because I had heard of them on earth. All right? Now, the question I asked inside me is, how can this world be here, yet I've heard of it? And now let me explain what that means. When if you had read books, if you read specific books that are very imaginary, Chronicles of Narnia or whatever, there are worlds that seem, you feel like you're familiar to them when you read the book. And so when you're taken to another world, it seems similar from the world that you read. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. That's what it was. And so I asked, this world looks very similar from what I've heard or seen down there. And the Spirit of the Lord told me, answered me, and said, there are two categories of worlds that we're showing you. One category is worlds that were created as a result of the imagination of men. And it shocked me because it seemed like someone on earth had conjured up a world, and in the spirit world, it exists. Okay? And then the second category was worlds that men on earth had, with or without the Holy Spirit, tapped into, seen, and come back and put in books or in movies. You understand? And many of you will be shocked. I'm telling you, when you get shocked, you find a Hogwarts somewhere. I'm telling you. Anyway, so I had this strange experience, and the reason I brought it up is to make you realize, because at a later time, I'll explain to you why that particular experience was important. The reason I brought it up is because there seems to be a familiarity that is growing amongst Christians, that they know they've seen it all. You come to fellowship, people worship, and they're just sitting there looking at their phones and saying, when will the person minister? Or you get so familiar to the... So, I don't know what it is. If you've seen certain things, you will not take certain atmospheres for granted. Praise the Lord. Let me show you something the Lord revealed to me in that experience. Something that I saw from there. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Malachi 3:16. We're going to read from verse 16, then I touch quickly what I want to touch. Malachi 3 from verse 16 onwards. Now listen to this. It says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. So what's happening here is there are people on earth talking amongst themselves. And this is what happens. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. So they are talking on earth and they have no idea that God joins the conversation. That's what happens here. Okay? And it says, and a book of remembrance was written before him. So they're just talking. And God joins them, and a book of remembrance is written before God for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Just thinking. Now, verse 17, it says, and they shall be mine. Now, the Lord, after joining the conversation, makes this conclusion. He says, they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Now, this is very important, you understand, that there are times on earth where you will be in a conversation that seems to be very natural, and the Lord inspires you to say something that he wants you to say. Now, this is very, very important. And when you speak it without knowing, it builds, it's written in the book of remembrance. I don't even know, let me put it this way. You could be sitting together with a friend and you're talking, and as the conversation goes on, you say, for me, 2 years from now, I'll have 2 kids, I'll have money, I'll have, and you don't know that you've been inspired to prophesy. And as you're doing so, the Lord writes a book of remembrance. Now, the reason why he would do something like that is because sometimes, you see, it's what we call the mercy of God. A person could have a terrible prayer life. And so God uses their natural speech. Are you getting what I'm saying? He uses their conversation, inspires them to say something they should have said in prayer. And he puts it in their book of remembrance. Then he remembers and said, my daughter said this. Let me bring it to pass. Praise the Lord. For that reason, that's why the Bible says, let your conversation be seasoned with salt. Don't just go there, just saying anything. Because in that time, these guys did not know that where two or more are gathered. Praise the Lord. There are conversations that we have when we talk that take on a spiritual format and become prophecies. And there are breakthroughs that come in your life simply because of a conversation you had. Praise the living God.
Amen.
Praise the, now, from now on, I expect you to have better conversations. But anyway, so this is something that I saw in the spirit, that actually they are scribes. You see, the Bible says that you shall give account for every idle word. All right? Now, there are around the chaps who keep track of what is said and what is not said and so on. Eh? But this is not like that. These are scribes who write down something in a book called the Book of Remembrance, where, and it's not just things said, it's actions. Remember the centurion? His alms came before God, alms and giving came before God. Even when Jesus, the Bible says the woman comes, pours oil on his feet. And then he says, what this woman has done shall be remembered. You see, there are things, there are acts. Now, I want to encourage you because there are things that to the natural might seem like they mean nothing. There are conversations to the natural that seems very natural. But in the spirit, they have a spiritual implication on your life. There are breakthroughs that you've had simply because you said the right thing. Huh? Praise the Lord. Eh? Which brings me then, that was just for the experience, which brings me then to the element of intimacy, which I think is very, very important. You see, God uses metaphors in the Bible. God uses metaphors. When God is using metaphors, he uses them when he's trying to describe a spiritual thing. Because when a spiritual thing is being identified, it has multiple facets to it. Are you with me? So, for example, a tree in the spirit is not just a tree. It has various facets to it. So when you're defining something spirit, the mistake you can make is to think that the definition you have is the only one. You with me? So God uses metaphors. One of the metaphors that the Lord uses is he describes the church as a building. Now, if I asked here, what is the definition of church? Christians gathered together and all that. It's an English translation. Eh? But the Spirit doesn't use definitions like that. He uses a metaphor. To God, the church is a building. Now, when God says that the church is a building, anything in the natural that defines a building must be used in defining the spiritual thing. So, for example, a building needs a foundation. So, therefore, in the spirit, the foundation must be there. And that foundation is who? Thank you. Okay? Then there are pillars. Then there are windows. Then there's a roof. All that means something in the spirit. So, when the church is a building, it's not just people gathered together. Are you with me?
Yes.
You see, the Bible says, let me touch this a bit. When Moses introduced the law, it took 1,500 years until Jesus died and resurrected. Okay, so from the law to the resurrection, 1,500. From that day when Jesus resurrected till today, it's 2022. All right? There's another time coming, the millennial reign, where there shall be a 1,000-year reign. Okay? So 1,500, 2,022, right? and 1,000. God tells Moses to build a tabernacle. In Hebrews chapter 9, that tabernacle is not just a physical tabernacle. It's a replica of something in the spirit. That means this definition cannot just be tabernacle. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why the Lord was very specific when he gave dimensions. When the outer court was given, he said it should be 1,500 square feet, signifying the 1,500 years for Moses. Are you with me? The Holy of Holies was 1,000 square feet, signifying the 1,000-year reign. Now, the period in between. Two thousand thirty-two square feet. Let's say I'll leave it to you. But my point is this. That's 10 years from now. I wish end time was my year. But that's not what I want to focus on. But my point is that if I went into the fact that even the ropes in the tabernacle had a meaning, you'd start to realize that physical things in the natural don't just represent just physical things in the spirit. If that is true and you're a spirit, your definition cannot just be Agneta. Are you getting me? You can't just be James, Kenneth, Michael. What's your name? Tell me about yourself. I am a believer. My name is Stacy. Finished. What are you talking about? If a tabernacle can have multiple dimensions to it, what about you? So therefore, other people's opinion of you, you just say you have your opinion. I am multifaceted. These people who say, me rabbi, me, I know rabbi, I know him. You are together just down there. Yeah, I know what he preaches. Why, are you God? Did you create me? There are parts of me even I've never seen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Do not think you know me. And people should not think they know you. And but whenever I go to that ministry, me, I know what they preach. Yeah, I know what you know how the spirit moves upon a person? That there are transitions from one identity to another each time something new is revealed. Don't you dare think that there's old wine in new wineskin. You are deeper than that. Deeper than what you know. That's why when we talk about identity, we're saying, please, don't just summarize yourself. You can't be summarized. God is not summarized. You can't be summarized. You're deeper than that. You're with me so far? And so the Lord uses metaphors in the spirit to describe things. The church later is referred to as a temple. Referring to when he refers to it as a building, he's referring to an aspect of the church that has to do with design, order, structure. When he refers to it as a temple specifically, he's talking about divinity. He's talking about holiness, sanctification of the church. Are you with me? Then along the way, he refers to it as a bride, referring to commitment, referring to purity, chastity. Are you with me? Yes. Different dimensions of the same thing. That's why if you see in scripture, Jesus has different dimensions. One part is a lamb. Another part is a lion. Next thing is a scepter. When you go on, he's something. He's a rose of Sharon. Different dimensions of the same person. And you're just like that. There is a plant that represents you in the spirit. Amen. There is an animal that represents you in the spirit. I know what I'm talking about. And I've taught this before, that actually, if you look through the Bible, souls, the soul of a person, animals represent soulish aspects of a person. And plants represent spiritual aspects of a person. So when someone is as wise as a serpent, it's referring to the soulish aspect of a person. When Jesus referred to Herod as a fox, he's referring to the state of his soul. Are you with me?
Yes.
Then there are spiritual aspects. Say, the vine. Okay? When it's a fruit of the spirit. Are you with me?
Yes.
So when you have a dream of a plant of some sort, I don't know. Anyway. But I'm trying to get you to understand that there are different dimensions. Now, this is extremely, extremely important, what I'm telling you, so that you stop approaching spiritual things with the laissez-faire effect. You see, I don't want you to fall in the category of people who have reduced church to plot. Huh? And me, I'm a teacher, I'll rebuke you. Huh? Don't, it is not plot. It's never... do you know, today, as I was coming, before I came, my wife asked me, so she said, she found me pacing, praying in tongues. Eh? Then she said, but you've done this 1,000 times. Why are you pacing? Eh? You look agitated. And I said, because I respect what I do. I don't take it lightly. If I can go through the preparation of hours just for about 1 hour here, you should do the same coming. It's not plot. What are you doing on Friday? Banange, you come call also. Huh? You come call. Then outside you take pics. Then you, man, do you know what happens in an atmosphere? I wish the Lord would open your eyes. Me, I go like a soldier ready for war. I sit in there and say, Lord, what is it that you have for me this season? No. You guys. Anyway, that aside. So, if you really want to have an intimate relationship with God, if you want to see deeper dimensions in God, which we're going to talk about as the weeks come on, stop taking things like laissez-faire. Because the men of God do not take them as such. Praise the Lord. At least the men of God that I know, including myself. They don't take it as such. I want to show you something in Scripture. In 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29, last chapter to 32. We're going to read it. Eh? 1 Kings, this is about Solomon. It says, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart. Most people never point to this. God also gave Solomon a largeness of heart. Because the amount of wisdom that he gave him, he needed to expand the capacity of the man to instill that wisdom in the man. There are things you do not have the capacity for, and there needs to be an enlarging. You know, he said, give me a double portion of your spirit. It's like someone is a jug, and you're a small cup, but you want the jug's water. You must expand yourself. So here the scripture says, and the Lord gave Solomon the largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. I don't want to dwell on that. Verse 30. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. Oh, you guys. There was a wisdom of the east, which where the wise men came from. That's what he's referring to here. So God put something on him that even the wise men from the east said, chichichi no. You understand? Then the wisdom of Egypt was second. We'll take time and talk about Egypt, the fact that it birthed medicine, birthed so many things, eh? But through the supernatural. When history shows it, it makes it look very natural. But I can assure you, there were witches, spiritual mediums in Egypt. But Solomon had a wisdom above them. The next verse says, for he was wiser than all men. Then imagine, you've put the east, you've put Egypt, then that means these chaps were also bad news. Eh? Yeah. Huh? By the time you're bringing them out, eh? It says, than Ethan the Ezraite, and Heman, and Chaco, and Dada, and the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all nations round about. Verse 32. And he spake, this is important, how many? 3,000 proverbs. And his songs were? And five. This is very, very important. The wisdom that Solomon had, to preserve it, he preserved it in two ways. In proverbs and in songs. Because if he had just disappeared off the face of the earth, that wisdom would not be known. You're with me?
Yes.
So he preserves it in two ways. First, through Proverbs. It says 3,000. There are only 900 in Scripture. So there are some Proverbs missing. All right? Then it says, and his songs were 1,005. Please understand that there is only one song by Solomon in Scripture, the Song of Songs. Hey, you guys. There's only one. But he released 1,005. Are you with me? The Song of Songs, was an inspired song. That's why it's named as such. In fact, take me there. Song of Songs, chapter 1. Eh? Oh, gosh, who knew I would come here? Song of Songs, chapter 1. Okay. Chapter 1. Give me... okay, NKJV. Song of Songs. Okay, give me Amplified. I think that should work. Oof. The Song of Songs, the most excellent of them all, which is Solomon's. So this song is the most excellent of the 1,005. Are you with me?
Yes.
And the reason why it's the most excellent is because when he sang it, he was inspired and it summarized everything else that was in. So in other words, if you want to know what the other songs were about, this is the song. Praise the Lord. Now, this is very important. Let me touch something on the side. Solomon is very unique in the sense that his father being David, it's important you understand this, that when a child is born, especially to parents that have spiritual attributes, those attributes go into that child, along with the gift that God has for the child. Yeah. So the father was a singer. And many people don't point out that Solomon is actually a singer. He has a Song of Songs. They don't point out. But there's an attribute that was in the dad that was passed on to the son. Are you with me? In fact, Solomon wrote two Psalms, Psalm 72 and Psalms 127. Hey, is this new information? Now, so the reason why this is important, I have to summarize this. The reason why this is important is because there is an intimacy expressed in Song of Songs. In fact, I dare say there are about minimum 12 degrees of intimacy with God in Song of Songs. Some of which I can't mention because I've never had them. I only know about them. I haven't yet reached in them. It's my desire. Oh, praise the Lord. Minimum that I've found in Song of Songs. So the Lord inspires this man. Now, this is very important because it goes in line with what I said of Malachi. Solomon is writing a song. And the song, oh, should I say singing or writing? Anyway, so, and the song that he writes, he's expressing his love to a woman. Huh? Please understand that he's generally just focusing on the woman. But he doesn't know that the Spirit is inspiring him. And that at some point, God will use it as a sign of intimacy. Now, this happens a lot even to you. Many of the psalms that David sang, you know when someone is there complaining, "Where are you, Lord? Where are you, Lord?" F. You know? And meanwhile, the Spirit is actually inspiring him to say what he's saying so that at a certain point you can say, "Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord." You understand? These are not carnal chaps. Something was working in them. How do you know that a spirit was working through them? You know something is spiritual when it transcends its time. When a song stays, its origin was not earth. Huh? When a book stays, generation after generation after generation, people referred, its origin was not earth. That's how you know something is of the Spirit. And so here he is. Solomon is at a point focusing on a woman. Meanwhile, he also, there are characteristics of the father that pass on to him. except multiplied. So Solomon has the father loved women, but Solomon, I don't know what to call that. So for him it multiplies. That means as much as spiritual attributes can pass through the blood, so can characteristics. And so he has it. Now, but the interesting thing is that, so he writes Proverbs, he writes Ecclesiastes, and I really had time, I wish I had time for this, because in Ecclesiastes, he's that guy who has had a blast. And it's, at every point, he says vanity, 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 I've done it all, vanity, 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 vanity. Now, when you reach Song of Songs, of all the concubines he had and what, there was this particular woman, who we don't know who she is. You understand? She moved the heart of this chap. One particular lady like this. I wish we knew who she was. Because when you have 1,000 in total, she must have really stood out. And the interesting thing is that if you read, she was black. Okay, now guys are going to read Song of Songs tonight. Read Song of Songs tonight. Anyway, where was I? Anyway, so give me verse 2. I'll lay a foundation and then we'll see what we'll do next week. Verse 2. Let it be noted that I'm reading from the Bible. I am reading from what? Yeah. And it says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Now, I don't have time to take us through the gates, but the first place of intimacy with God is that it's personal. You can't kiss more than one person at once. Oh. Anyu. Your relationship with God is extremely personal. And the reason why this is important is that as much as he's our God, he's yours.
Yes.
You with me?
Yes.
There are things, no matter how much you want, God will never reveal to you until you seek him personally. Amen. No matter how many prophecies, no matter which grace you're seated under, no matter who your man of God is, I am telling you, if you think that everything you're going to get through someone telling you, you're largely mistaken. God is romantic.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And so I see the amens are even fewer, eh? God is romantic.
Amen.
Now, this is... can I give you some scriptures? Eh? Let me show you something. Eh? Why? The reason why the Lord will consistently refer to... Let me get the scripture. Because it has just come in my spirit, and I think it's important for you. Eh? Isaiah 54, verse 5 to 7. Eh? Isaiah 54, 5 to 7. In fact, I'll give you a number of scriptures. This is God speaking through a prophet. For thy maker is thine... Now, this is very, very important. Some time back when I was ministering, I taught that there are different dimensions of God. There's God as Father, there's God as King, and there's God as Creator. Different people can have different relationships with God based on those different dimensions. And I explained that you can never know God, you can never know dominion, unless you've got the revelation of God as King. I'm telling you, never. You with me? When you're coming to God as King, it's not Daddy. No. you're mistaking the dimension. Anyway, we'll talk about that sometime. So, but there's one thing I never touched, that as much as there are three dimensions, when it comes to intimacy, the deepest dimension is God as husband. Not Father, not King, not Creator, husband. We're not sharing a husband. This thing is a personal. Praise the Lord. It is extremely extremely, extremely personal. And he says, for thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts his name, and thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. And he says, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. Yeah. Give me Ezekiel. I have to hit this in. Ezekiel 16:8. Ezekiel 16:8. Now when I passed by thee, I looked upon thee. This is God speaking. Behold, thy time was the time of love. Can you give me Amplified? I'm sure God is romantic. Huh? Now I passed by you again and looked upon you. Behold, you are maturing, and at that time for love. And I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I plighted my troth to you and entered into a covenant with you, says the Lord, and you became mine. Here he was speaking to Israel, but he might as well be speaking directly to you. Now, the thing about this, he says, he waited for you to mature into love. Do you know that until you've matured in the spirit, there are dimensions of God's love you cannot... You say, for God so loved the world, you just say it. I was telling someone yesterday that the Bible is so experiential that when a man has reduced the scriptures thereof to information, he has missed it. So take, for example, let me give you an example. We are the righteousness of God. We are the righteousness. And you've read it, and you can even stand up and tell people how I am the righteousness of you. You're still at information. Get that man who's saying I'm the righteousness, and one day let him struggle with lust. Fall into it, and while he's busy condemning him, God appears. He's condemning himself. And God doesn't even mention it. The way you talk about righteousness will change. It's not this stuff, I am the righteousness, I am... you guys, that's not how it is. And so, here, he says, there's a love that God waits for you to mature to, that he can express to you. This is the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it changed. It went further. He didn't just cover wings and cover your nakedness. Scripture says that it sets with you. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's an expression of deep, deep love. Deep love. Deep, deep love. I remember one time when I was 7 years old, and I've ministered about this sometime. When I was 7 years old, I was in my room somewhere, and I didn't really know God. Eh? And I was complaining over something that I can't quite remember right now. Eh? And all I remember is that I was crying, and I kid you not, a voice said, I love you. That was my first ever encounter with God. And in fact, so much so that I trace who I am from that point. Because 7 years after that, I gave my life to Christ. 7 years after that, discovered my call. 7 years after that, started ministry. It is currently the seventh year after that. Praise the Lord. Praise the living God. I want you to understand that when God is a husband, give me Isaiah 2:2. Isaiah 2:2. That's a devotion. Oh gosh, time can rush, eh? It says, and it shall come to pass in the last days. Sorry, Jeremiah 2:2. I don't know why I said Isaiah. Maybe that's for someone. The mountain of the Lord shall be established. Okay, Jeremiah 2. Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in the land that was not sown. Now, this is God speaking. Now, I need you to understand that when it comes to spiritual things, you can be a wife to God, even when you're a man. Praise the Lord. In fact, God calls you as a man. I am your husband. He says that. The reason why ladies easily connect to spiritual things is because they have a default posture of being a wife. Guys have to, you know how like a car needs to, they have to chamuket it and start it up. That's how guys are. Praise the Lord. So the deepest experience you can have with God is that as a husband. All right? Take me back to Song of Songs. Woo! I wish there was, we would have eternity here and time just stops. Huh? Okay. Give me one verse two. Yes? He says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. She cries. Then realizing that Solomon has arrived, go back to KJV. This is sounding very funny. Go back to KJV. Quick. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. If you read through the entire book, you realize that at every point, the lover is exchanging something substance for something more important. That's why here, he exchanges wine for the love. It goes on. I wish I had time. I'll show you. He keeps on exchanging different substances for something. And that's why God will take you through levels. I'm telling you. You reach a point where he says, you went up to testify. Praise the Lord. You guys, I got a wonderful car. And then one night he comes in a dream. Give it to me. Therefore, I bind you. At every level of intimacy, you must exchange something for that deeper level. I'm telling you. Just as we go around you, you chase a nice lady and you're exchanging. whether people are willing to accept it or not, there are always exchanges. And so the person who does not have the capacity to exchange something will end up alone for some time. Eh? Until he gets the means to be able to exchange. Okay, give me verse 4. Ah, gosh. He says, draw me. We will run after thee. So the understanding here is that there's a deep revelation here. You can never enter a dimension of intimacy with God by deciding. But tonight... Tonight, God is my husband. Like I know some of you here, eh? Already planning. That's not how it works. It says he draws me. It's a drawing. Because men naturally are incapable of doing good things. Incapable. Naturally. Because of sin. Do not be deceived. Every good and perfect gift. Naturally. So when you come to fellowship, you didn't decide. Somewhere along the way, you met God. You just don't know. Huh? Praise the Lord. And you see, the thing is that in every ministry, the chairs that are put, there is a precursor of the people who are supposed to be in the room. God doesn't do empty chairs. So someone had a message and refused to show up. And I told you last week, the other week, that you can fail to show up physically, but the Spirit comes and shows up. So when we're prophesying, I call John, but John is not here. And you think, I've got it off. That, man, today Rabbi. I know some of you think, eh? Ha! The guy has missed it. The good thing is that we died to the opinions of people. Those days when we'd miss it, when you miss it, you say, "Aya!" But that's not what happens. Ideally, a person is supposed to be around. Eh? And I wish I had time, I would show you how. Then people look for me after. And I always explain that. In the moment, the Kairos time, there is a word at that moment. So even if you sought me after, I can give you a word, but I cannot guarantee that it was the word that was for that particular moment. You with me? Yes. That's why being able to discern your Kairos moments are important. Even with the experiences I had, do you know a person can pray for years? You pray, no experience. Then one day when you are out drinking coffee, chilling with friends, you go to sleep and you find yourself in another world. They don't just happen randomly. They are kairos moments. And you need to learn and mark the days of your visitation. Because sometimes they repeat themselves like a cycle. You'll find every 7th March, something happens. I'm just giving an example. And yet you miss it. You miss it all the time. Just missing it. Because you fail to understand the patterns of the spirit. I don't take things for granted. Mama, I don't. If I told you how some miracles, for me, some of the prophecies here that I love the most, the things that touch me, there are times when, there was a time the other week, I think I asked for a, was it a Psalm? Yeah, I think I asked for a Samuel. Okay? And you see, the thing is that, me, I'll go according to the unction. And based on the unction, I'll know when the Samuel I'm looking for is not in the room. So I'm not about just picking people. But you see, the interesting thing is then, and lady will testify. So I move on and pick a lady who is the wife of the Samuel I'm looking for. But I did not see it. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Eh? When you're up here, your life is literally, is your God takes over. It is actually right, and people get offended. It is actually right to say that when someone is in a ministration point, you're meeting God. Because any minister who's led by the Spirit would know that there are strange things that happen that even they can't. There's a day I remember I picked out a person, and in my mind, I thought there were a person I knew. It's like, so I know a Timothy, and I pick out a Timothy, thinking it's that Timothy. You understand? And in my eyes, my physical eyes, I was seeing that Timothy. So I prophesied. Then after I finished, I'm seeing someone else. So I start to think, my God, have I got this thing off? That person comes, tells me, Rabbi, everything you said. Then I go back, I say, hey, that's how you learn to fear God. You guys, that's how you learn to fear God. I gave a testimony here some time back of the day I was learning to prophesy and someone brought a lady to me. And the problem is that she told me that I've been telling this lady your bad news. So don't what? I was shaking. So she comes and she's very intellectual, what, well-dressed, what, comes. Hello, how are you doing? The English. So she sits, and you know, with this thing of, you guys, the pressure was on. Back, that was what, 2016? Must have been 16. I was learning the trade. And I remember, I'm not encouraging you to do this. Eh? So I remember, the lady I was with had told me her name in full. Eh? So I said, your name is... She's like, what? I'm like, yeah. Why say I'm not yet done? That's why I told you, don't do this. I want to show you the fear of the Lord. So I said, your name is this. He said, what? How did you know that? How did you, what? Now, do you know how someone can come? Rabbi, I'm bringing this lady. She works here. She's what? Generally just trying to, may I just went and reproduced. So now I want you to understand something. I'm trying to show you how God takes control of things. So I told her, you work here. Now, by the time I was done, I couldn't understand why she was so animated. She pulled out a piece of paper and said, I told God, if you're a man of God, you mention these things. I feared. I went back home. I said, what is this? So, was I outside the window? What? I understood how Jonah was. Jonah was running away, but later Jesus says he was in the wheel. He says, just like Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the bosom of the whale, that means even when he was running, he was in God's wheel. That's how I felt. So I was like, Katu, do I need to repent? Anyway, and along the way, I began to, you begin to release yourself. You stop trying to put guards because you know God is in control. And it's not just for ministers. It is for you. You know, scripture says, that scripture that I was saying, that let your conversation be seasoned with salt so that you may have what to say to those who have to ask. And so the thing is that in that moment, as you speak, the Spirit of the Lord takes over the tongue. And you think you're saying your own things. Amen. Anyway, I have to finish. Right, go on, just finish this. And it says, draw me, we will run after thee. The king has brought me into his chambers. The first level is a personal thing. And I'm not even talking about the 7 degrees. These are not degrees. They are 4 levels. Degrees, we shall get there some other time. There are 4 levels. The first level is you must have a personal relationship with God. The kiss. Huh? Fuck, sometimes someone told me, Rabbi, me, I'm a good kisser. I was like, experience the same with the Lord. Don't tell me how well you're kissing human beings. Anyway, so he said, the king hath brought. Now, the second level is where you're brought into the chambers. A chambers is, this is what we call the secret place. It is the actual secret place. The Spirit picks you. Now, the secret place is not a place somewhere. It is inside. It's a place you tap in. Inside. Guys, I wish I... There, it's like, you know how... If you're seeing God as Father or as King, as Creator, you can go around and tell everyone, the Lord told me this. But even in the natural, they always encourage husband and wife, let what happens between you be between you. It's not yapping. You don't go yapping things that have happened in the chamber. Praise the Lord. This message today is a very interesting one. You don't go yapping. And this is, the reason why I'm saying this is because the reason why many of you, or should I say many people that I've encountered, not all but most, find themselves in a place that they're at. Eh? There are things you will pray for that God will never give you because he knows they will replace him. Huh? In fact, there's a quote I love. It says, if who you are is what you have and what you have is taken away, who are you? You have to stop defining yourself according to what you may or may not have. You, there are things I cannot say on the pulpit because they will sound funny. But I wish I could tell you just through experience what an intimate, on a very low level, what an intimate experience with God is like. Should I say it? Because I believe many of us are adults, apart from like a baby. How old? You're 9 now, eh? She's 9 now, eh? And 9 is a big girl. It's okay. But what I need you to understand is this, that there is a level of intimacy with God. Oh, God, give me the grace. You know when scripture says that Adam knew his wife? And as many of you have heard over and over, that the knowing there was an intimacy. And the reason why the Bible parallels sexual activity to intimacy is because in the spirit, there is an intimacy whose only equivalent on earth is sexual. Banange, what we're preaching today? But what I'm telling you is extremely true. Extremely true. God, you'll ask any man of God who at least understand. That's why when a man of God or woman of God goes deeply into the spirit and spends a lot of time there, if they have not learned the the art of discipline. When they come on earth, they will look for that feeling. Normally, I would not have said something like this. Anyway, there are things I'm not saying yet for the sake of PG, but what I'm telling you is extremely true. And so if a person has not learned the art of discipline, because discipline is very important in the spirit, you will find a person on earth very anointed, godly, has a relationship with God, but they're with multiple people. It would actually explain the situation with people like David and Solomon. Yeah, okay. I say, Rabbi, this is sin, what? No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm trying to tell you that you can enter levels of intimacy whose equivalent you're looking for on earth. It's like when you eat something in the spirit and you come back and food tests. Let me tell you, in the Bible, there were men who were so close to God. Jeremiah, Daniel. Daniel is mentioned in Ezekiel 14:14 with Job and so on. People were so close to God, they had such an intimacy with him. To such an extent, I don't know if many of you know history. Jeremiah prophesied that the children of Israel would go into captivity for 70 years. Okay? He prophesied it. Daniel is taken into captivity at about 17, 16, depending on who you ask. Daniel then prophesies that the 70 years have now, they've come to an end. So the people are supposed to go back. Ezra, existing at the same time as Daniel, then by King Cyrus, is sent to go back to Jerusalem, and the people of God are told to go back from Babylon. You with me? While Daniel is still alive. You with me?
Yeah.
But Daniel never goes back. He dies in Babylon. In fact, there are two prophets in Iraq, Babylon, present-day Iraq. Two prophets buried around there. Daniel and Nahum. Jeremiah died in Egypt. According to the Jews, the worst thing that could happen is to be buried in a foreign land. But you see what happened was, because scholars up to now ask, why didn't Daniel? He's alive, right? He's alive when Cyrus makes the decree, people go back to your land. Ezra and Nehemiah lead people back to the land, but Daniel dies. When you have seen a temple in the spirit, and then some man tells you, go back to this natural temple, you tell people, you go. You guys, guys who have gone intimate, you go. The thing that I'm looking for, it can't be satisfied. Daniel dies in Babylon. Actually, historically, people like Jeremiah, Daniel, Nahum, they held upon a prophecy that one day the God they love would come for them where they are. So it didn't matter where they died. He was coming. Now, I know people here, they've told you to go to America. Amen! And because in the world here, they've created a facade that America is the new heaven. Until you've seen just a glimpse of a place where God will take you. Some of these things seem. One time I told, a guy came to me and said, Rabbi, I struggle with alcohol. And he was saying, what can I do? I said, go deeper in God. I thought you're going to tell me stop drinking. What I said, if I told you stop drinking, you wouldn't stop drinking. Because this thing is not of the flesh. When you taste something sweeter, this one starts to die. That's why when the Song of Songs, the guy is singing, the guy says he has exchanged the wine for love. You're getting me?
Yes.
Press in. Press in. You need to have a personal relationship with God. I am not your God. No man of God is. Have a personal relationship with God. One day come and say, Rabbi, I was talking with the Lord the other day. I said, first stop there. Now you're Rachel. You were talking to the Lord. What did the Lord say? Huh? It's very, 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 very important. In fact, there's nothing more important than it on earth. Not the car you're going to drive, not the house you want to buy, all those. Do you tell you? You will go deep in God, get the house that you love, and you will feel like. That's why people in scripture longed. Abraham longed for a place. A city whose builder and maker was God. When you've seen it, yeah. You start, everything around you starts looking like it's, eh? Then you start telling the Lord, come. That's why John ended Revelations by saying, even so, come Lord Jesus, come. Maranatha. Until, we shall touch this, the degrees, until you have allowed the Lord. The Bible says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Until you've taken off the rails, allowed yourself to just be real with God. There are times I complain. Huh? Times I walk in. You guys don't know how God has messed me up sometimes. I come, I'm led to someone to prophesy, then the eyes go off, the feelings go off, everything. Then I'm like, why have I picked out this person? Now I can forge it. You guys, I wish I could give you testimony after. I think God sometimes says, let's first see what he's going to do. For me, that's how it seems to me. There's a day a lady came, I will never forget her. So she stands up with her glasses. No, I go there and say, stand up. So I reach there. Whoa. I couldn't see, hear, feel anything. So, let me come back. So, back I said, pray in tongues. You come back, nothing. And there are people, I've told the girl to stand up. Eh? There's no way I can tell her to sit back down. So that day what I did, I held her hand and I randomly said three things. She ran out after me, said, these are the three things I told the Lord. You guys, me in ministry here, I died to myself. Whether I trip, if I just... Even if I turned around like this, I just said, picky, picky, okay. Ah, it is in the wheel. Praise the Lord. We could have gone on forever and ever, eh? This is by far my favorite thing to talk about, eh? Relationship with God. I know people want money, but money pales in comparison. Huh? And you will get it. Huh? I know you want a spouse, but even the spouse pales in comparison. But you will get the spouse.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.